All right, here we go. Welcome to Hebrew Club, fresh off the Christmas break and the New Year. Hope you guys are all doing okay. Hey, Joe. Good to see everybody. Our attendance has been a little tough because I figure all the Minnesota guys would be here because this is like a spring day for them. So I don't know where they all are. Oh, well. Hopefully everybody will watch the championship game tonight, right? Texas or Alabama. Could be good. Oh, is he? That's right. Plus, for that him, this is like a major holiday. He's living in a dream world. He's living in a dream world, yeah. Yeah, they did. So who cares? They did. They played well. All right, we are on 2 Samuel chapter 8. We're just ready to start it. So after that great chapter in which God gives his covenant to David, we move on to chapter 8, and we get a record of kind of the aftermath of the kingship of David. And a continuing record of how God continued to give him success in battle. So we'll try to get through the first 9 or 10 verses today at least. So verse 1, Vayahi acharei kein vayak David et pelishtim, vayak niem, vayikach David et metek ha'ama miyad pelishtim. And it came to pass after this, that David struck the Philistines, again from Nakah, we've seen that a lot, and he subdued them or humbled them, humiliated them. From kana means to be humble, to be low, to make humble or to make low. So this is a hifil, vav consecutive. Okay, and he subdued them. Vayikach, then David took. Okay, here is, it's literally the metheg of the cubit, which makes no sense. Some suggest the metheg of the cubit. Yeah. So most translations translate it as something, an idiom for control, took control from the hand of the Philistines. Some suggest that it might be a place name, though the Hebrew's kind of uncertain here. All right. But notice what happens in the aftermath. It's kind of the basic idea of him conquering them and gaining territory from them is kind of reasonable given what comes after it. Okay?
What are the English translations doing?
Most English translations will translate, and David took control from the hand. So they'll just translate it kind of. But there is at least one translation that makes this a place name. Took metheg, and then just transliterates it. Metheg ha'ama, as a place name from the control of the Philistines. But I don't know if that makes any better sense. It's just a weird thing. Verse 2, Vayak et Moav, Vayemad Daim, Bachevel. Hashkev otam arza, vayemadeid shnei chavalim lehamit, umelo hachevel lehachayot, vatei Moav leDavid, laavadim nos emincha. And David defeated Moab, again from Nakah. You're going to see that word throughout here. And he divided them. What conjugation is yemadeid? Good. It's a piel from what root? Madad, yeah, kind of nice and obvious right there. And he measured them. That's what it really means. We would say, we would probably say measured them off. As you will see, it's not good news here. Maybe divided them up with a chevel, with a rope. Okay. Then you have Hashkev. This is a hifil infinitive absolute from Shakav. Shakav means to lie down. So the hifil would be he made them lie down. All right, notice here the absolute form. We would just probably translate it as the finite verbs here in the rest of the passage. So he divided them off with a rope. He made them lie down on the ground, arza. Okay, now here comes the bad news. Vayemadeid shnei chavalim. And he measured them with two ropes. Okay, measured out or cordoned off, divided off, with two ropes, lehamit, to put to death. Here's a hifil infinitive from moot, to put to death. And the fullness from malo, from mala, and the fullness of the rope, namely, and one rope, lehachayot, to preserve alive. So again, a hifil infinitive from chaya, to be alive, hifil to keep alive. The idea is, I think, that he killed twice as many as he spared. So evidently, you know, he laid them on the ground, took two lengths of ropes, and probably, I don't know, maybe literally measured down. And when the two ropes reached its length, those were killed, and took one rope and measured it. Those guys got to live. Something, some kind of process like that.
Could this be like he bound or he separated the group and bound them by rope, and one side was we put to death?
Could be. Yeah, something like that. See? Yeah. Here's the aftermath. Vati Moab. And Moab became to David La'avadim, servants. And again, notice Haya plus Lamed with Avadim to become. And then the Le David is kind of possessive. So very more idiomatic English. And Moab became David's servants. Nos e mincha. Notice that that's a participle, infinitive in a construct form, plural. Carriers of mincha here probably means tribute. So payers of tribute, we would say. All right. Questions through verse 2. All right, here we get another weird one. Vayak David et Hadad Ezer ben Rechov Melech Zova belekto lehashiv yado binhar blank. Supposed to read Parat, and I'll talk about that in a second. Then David struck, again, Naka, at Hadad Ezer, that's the name of a guy, Hadad Ezer, son of Rehov, king of Zova. Okay? I don't know who Rehov is. Zova supposedly is a little, it's west, maybe just a little north of Jerusalem. Okay? So David struck this guy, and ostensibly his army too, while he was going. So notice that that's an infinitive construct from Halak. While he was going, lehashiv, to restore, again a hifil from shuv, while he was going to restore his power, binhar, at the river, now see, you don't have the name of the river. Notice what the Masoretes have done. The Masoretes have put the vowels there, but no consonants, because there's no consonants in the text. All right, so that's kind of interesting. If you look at the side there, you see that they want you to put Pei Resh Tav Parat. That's the river Euphrates. And if you look, of course, at C, 3C, notice many manuscripts add Parat. And so does the Septuagint, actually. When I looked at the Septuagint, Septuagint had the river Euphrates. So it would be, while he was going to restore his power, notice Yad, his power, at the river Euphrates. Okay, so if you were reading this text for your bat mitzvah, you would come to this and you'd go, Binhar Prat. See, the vowels tell you to pronounce it, but the Masoretes are not going to put the consonants in the text. It's kind of interesting. So it looks weird, right? It's like something missing. You all know. Yeah, they probably wouldn't be reading 2 Samuel. All right. Any questions through 3? Verse 4. Va'yilko David mimenu elef u'shvameot parashim ve'esrim elef ish ragli. Va'ye'aker David et kol ha'rekev va'yoter mimenu me'a'rakev. Okay. And David captured from Lakad, from him, namely Hadad Ezer, 1,700 parashim, horsemen. Okay, so again, 1,700 horsemen. It's a lot. And 20. Now notice again how you can go from singular to plural as far as numbers. So you have seven. So the parashim in the plural, ish. Singular. Remember, a lot of those common words like ish and what's another common word with numbers? I don't know. Ish especially. You're going to see them in singular, and that's what you have here. So 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 men, ragli, footmen. So foot soldiers is how we would translate. Vayeaker, here's a PL form, and this means to hamstring. Then David hamstrung all the rekev. the chariots. And I think it probably means, and some translations bring this out, the horses of the chariots. Okay? Vayoter, and he left. What conjugation is vayoter?
Niphal.
Not niphal. Niphal.
Yeah.
Nope.
Niphal.
Nope. What's the root?
Yatar.
It's yatar, so it is a hiphil form. Hiphil from yatar, to be left. So in the call, it's to be left. So the hiphil, it becomes transitive. He left from it 100 chariots. So notice he destroyed all the others save for 100. Okay, good. Questions through 4.
What does that mean, hamstring?
Well, I think it actually means to cut the tendons in the back of their legs. Unless it's referring to erect the chariots. It sounds like really inhumane for us. But usually the word is referring to the animals, to actually do something to the animals. Now here it has chariots, but you know, you have to make, some translations actually add horses of the chariots just to make it clear that that's what's being referred to. Yeah. David was, he was a bloody guy. I mean, when you look at, yeah, he was. Good. Verse 5. Va tavo aram da mesek lazor lahad ezer melech zova vayak David ba'aram esrim ushnaim elafish. Then this is Aram of Damascus. Damesek is Damascus. So we would probably translate that Aram as referring to the people. Okay. Then the Arameans of Damascus tavo came lazor to help. Now notice that that's kind of weird. Why is that? Does the vowel pointing strike you as just a little strange there on Azar? What would you expect under the ayin? Well, you would expect like a hatef because it's a guttural, and maybe then a pata corresponding to the lamed. So you would expect something like la'azor. But it's pointed different. They just want you to go la'azor. And it's just kind of an odd thing here. All right? So the Arameans from Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zovah. Okay? And David struck in the Aramites, or among the Arameans, 22,000 men. So notice how the biblical narrator is just, you know, David has success after success. So you have this guy from Zovah he destroys, then the Arameans from Damascus come, and he defeats them. Okay, verse 6. Vayasim David netzivim ba'aram da mesek. Vatehi aram la David la vadim nos e mincha. Vayosha Yahweh et David bekol asher halak. Then David put, from Seem, David put netzivim, our garrisons. You'll see this as another word referring to poles or pillars, but here it's garrisons. So David placed garrisons among the Arameans of Damascus. Okay? And and here you have the same formula then. Then the Arameans became to David's servants. So they became David's servants. Notice how it explains what it means to be Eved here. That is, they paid tribute. So you see kind of a coalescing of David's power. We saw it in the previous chapters between the north and south. He brought them together. And now notice how his power is extending to other territories, even as far as Damascus. All right, and they were actually paying him tribute, so he's getting rich in the process. So Yahweh saved. Vayosha. Notice it's from the root yasa, and it's a hiphil form. Yahweh saved David, or maybe gave David victory, or made him prosperous. In every place where he went. So wherever he went, Yahweh Yoshad David. All right? Questions through 6. Yeah, Eldon.
We had no say up in verse 2, but it didn't have the Vajra.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Good, yeah. No, remember as we talked about in our Hebrew class, you will see very uneven spelling from book to book. And, you know, remember, at a certain point, the Masoretes weren't going to change the text, so what was there was there. So, yeah, this is a good example of how just adding a modern letter can make a very common word look really strange. But you'll see very uneven with these modern letters throughout different books, you know. I think James Barr has a whole book on the spelling of the Bible. It's really an interesting book, the spelling of the Old Testament, and shows kind of the uneven nature of it from as you go from book to book. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Verse 7. Vayikach David et shilte hazahav asher hayu el avde hadad ez azer vayeviem Yerushalayim. Then David took the shilte. Shalit is sometimes translated as shields. So it'd be shields of gold. But at least some suggest that it doesn't mean shields. It means the bracelets or the necklaces, you know, the jewelry, which kind of makes a lot of sense. I don't know how many shields would be made out of gold. And it's kind of a rare word. So there is some scholars who suggest on the basis of cognate information or some other evidence that it doesn't refer to shields so much as some kind of other implements, okay? And may just be more general word for vessels of gold, which belonged to the servants of Hadad-Ezer. Okay, so notice how David's accumulating stuff. See, Vayevi'im, and he brought them to Jerusalem. Okay, verse 8. Umibetach, umibberotai are Hadad-Ezer, lakach ha-melech David, nechoshet harbe me'ot. Here it is again. And from Betach, that's a city name, and Beirotai, another city name, cities of Hadad-Ezer, the king, David, took brass, nechoshet. Now you have this harbe, which is an infinitive from ravat, to be great. And remember, this is very common to be used as an adverb. And then me'od strengthens it. So he took brass stuff. Harbe me'od, an awful lot, a whole bunch. Okay? Notice also how you have a little different way of referring to David here. It's his office or his title first, the king David. So here, you know, he wants to emphasize the nature of how his kingdom's growing and how power's kind of coming to him. It's kind of just interesting. He switches around and adds the article to HaMelech here.
He's doing kingly.
Yeah, he's kind of doing it, right. He's actually acting like a king. The kingdom is starting to look like the kingdom. Yeah, strange.
I have a question back in verse 7.
Yeah.
It used L as a possessive lama.
Yeah.
I know L and lama are kind of interchangeable, but I don't know that I've seen it used in a possessive. Is that common?
No, I noticed that too. Notice that some manuscripts have al.
That were upon them.
Yeah, see, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how often L has that meaning rather than le. Or all. I mean, all and L are very often interchanged, as we've seen too, but L is possession, I suspect, is less common. Because it struck me when I read it too, I go, oh, that's kind of strange. But yeah, it'd be interesting just to kind of, you'd have to go through every lamed and L in the books to find out how often it's used, because you kind of couldn't do it with a search. Yeah. Good. Any other questions through 8?
What about this name, Hadad Ezer?
Yeah.
Is that from the Canaanite god Hadad?
That's probably a good guess. That the name reflects that. Yeah. Good. Let's we can do, what do we got here? How much time? Okay, we got a couple more minutes. Vayishmatohi melech chamat ki hika David et kol chel Hadad Azer. Then Tohi, that's the name of another king of Chamat, heard that. Notice you have the object clause with ki following a verb of perception. He heard that David had struck all the chael, all the might or power, maybe all the army of Hadad-Ezer. Okay, verse 10. Vayishlach tohi et Yoram beno el hamelech David lishalo leshalom ule Varako al asher nilcham bahadad ezer vayakehu ki ish milchamot tohi haya hadad ezer u veyado hayu Kaleh, Kesef u Kaleh, Zahav u Kaleh, Nechosha. Okay.
Longest first name.
I know, it's like, huh. Then Tohi, I love that name, sent Yoram, his son, to the king. Here, notice again, it's a very different kind of address. He switches right in the middle of the narrative to call, to start with the role, then his personal name. See, so it's as if the author wants to emphasize the kingly nature of David now. All right, so then, and now notice he's getting visitors, you know. Notice, remember, when a king is in power, what does he do? He gets visitors, like the Queen of Sheba. Well, here comes Joram to the King David, Lishal. Now notice this idiom, Lishal lo leshalom. It's kind of very woodenly, to ask for him peace. We would say to greet him. See? So send him to greet him, and to varako. Notice that this is another infinitive construct, PL, and to bless him, al asher. We would say on account of, see, over which, let's just go with on account of Nilcham. He had fought, see, against Hadad-Ezer, Vayakehu, and had defeated him from Naka again. Okay. Ki ish milchamot, for a man of wars, was Tohi was with, see again you have to add the preposition, which Hebrew very often doesn't, with Hadad Azer. Okay? So you would say something like, and because he had fought against Hadad Azer and had defeated him, because Tohi was at war with Hadad Azer. See, that's kind of very idiomatic kind of way to say it. He was a man of milchamot, was Tohi, with Hadad-Ezer. Okay. U beyado, and in his hand, namely Yoram's, was Kaleh Kesef, vessels of silver, U Kaleh Zahav, vessels of gold, U Kaleh Nechoshet, and vessels of brass. So David was up to his ears in vessels of silver, gold, and brass.
So is that where they get
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be shields, but it just seems strange that you'd make weapons for war out of gold. It seems more that you'd have other stuff.
Yeah, right.
That's why I think people kind of suggest it means something different. All right, so David is gaining power here, and we'll see what happens next. Thanks for coming, you guys. Have a good week. To be continued.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks
for coming, Tom. I appreciate it. Do the commentators...